No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Week one of the Big 12 football season is basically in the books, so it's our first reaction show after a ton of action. 8 games on Saturday. We had games Thursday and Friday, and of course, still TCU, North Carolina to come on Monday night. But we've got 15 games in the books. We're here to talk to you about it, and make sure you are right now subscribed on the YouTube channel or on the podcast. So overall, a solid weekend for the Big 12. To be clear, it wasn't great. It wasn't. The Big 12 went 1-3 in its Power Four games. Now, if you want to be an optimist, you'll look at this and you'll say, well, the only game they were favored in was Utah against UCLA, and the Utes absolutely blasted the Bruins. And that was impressive. I'll get to that here in a second. But Cincinnati comes up short against Nebraska. You have Colorado coming up short against Georgia Tech, and you have Baylor losing to Auburn. I'll talk about all these games, but just out of the gates, those three losses, what pains me about them is not just that they lost, not just that only Cincinnati covered the spread, but that each of those games felt like they were motivated and driven by self-inflicted wounds by the Big 12 team. Whether it's Colorado ending the game with 2 timeouts in his back pocket, it's Baylor that still can't stop the run. You or I could have been in the backfield for Auburn. We would have gashed him for 100 yards. Or at Cincinnati, in field goal range, at the end of the game, trying to maybe force overtime, and Sorsby thinks he's Patrick Mahomes because he's in Arrowhead Stadium, and he gets picked off to end the game. Those three, even though those teams were underdogs, I feel like that each of them lost the potential to win that game and basically blew it. And that's what makes it more frustrating than when you just get blown out. So the good news is the Big 12 didn't have a disaster of a game. Kansas State tried to have one against North Dakota. Oh my goodness, that was awful. But they avoided disaster. They beat North Dakota 38-35. But that would have been such a black eye for this team and frankly for the entire league. Losing as a 25.5-point favorite to North Dakota for a team that's expected to compete atop of the Big 12. Whether or not Kansas State still is remains to be seen, but these are the major storylines that you've got right now in the Big 12 Conference. Now, if you want to be an eternal optimist, you'll look at this data point here that I will share with you. And please make sure that you like the video as well right now at heartlandcollegesports.com. On Saturday, the Big 12 went 8-0, winning by an average of 38.5 points. It's the only time in the last 40 years any FBS conference has gone undefeated with an average margin of victory of 35-plus points on any single day, with a minimum of 8 games. It's a cool stat. It means absolutely nothing to me. Like, I'm a Big 12 guy. I'm here to pump up this conference and support this league and it's what I've done for over 10 years now with Heartland College Sports. But that's a BS stat. I don't care about it. I'm not impressed by it, and it means absolutely nothing to me, okay? Because the games that mattered, the Big 12 came up just a little short. And yes, there were blowout wins. Happy about those, but I don't get impressed by FCS victories. That's SEC-esque to be impressed by FCS wins. I just don't care. I mean, I'm glad no one lost them, right? I'm glad that Kansas State came back late to beat North Dakota, but I don't sit here blown away by them. I don't. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to play that game. Some of you might want to do it, but I'm really not interested in going down that road. So it was a big Saturday, really Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And I want to start with what I thought was the most important win of the weekend thus far for the Big 12. And that is Utah beating UCLA and Devin Dampier looking like that dude. You've heard a lot of people quietly raving in Salt Lake City about what Devin Dampier could be coming in with his offensive coordinator from New Mexico. And they looked every bit the part. And I know you might say UCLA is not any good. Okay. But you know what? It's a Big Ten team. It's not like I'm raving about them beating up on an FCS opponent here. It's still a Big Ten team. And they just took them to the woodshed and just absolutely smoked them on Saturday. And, you know, if you're a Utah fan, you have got to be giddy right now. Because not only was Dampier just deadly through the air and with his legs, dual threat, threw for over 200 yards, rushed for 90, ran for a score, threw for two, the defense was exactly what you expect as well. You knew the defense was going to be there. But don't forget, they got Nico at UCLA. The guy took Tennessee to a college football playoff last season. I always thought he was overrated. I thought that Josh Heupel did the right thing letting him go. But Utah had, what, five tackles for loss, four sacks. They were all over that backfield of UCLA's on Saturday night. And it was a late game, but boy, it was worth staying up for. Because Utah's a team that I project to be in a Big 12 championship game. My preseason prediction was Utah versus Texas Tech. And I'm not trying to get ahead of myself here, okay? I'm not, but I'm just going to sit here and say, I don't feel worse about my pick after what I saw. And frankly, if you're a Utah fan, you have got to be just pinching yourself right now with all the headaches you went through last year at quarterback, going five deep, figuring out, do we have a guy here that's worth a darn at the most important position in football? And it turned out you didn't. So you went out, you got a guy, you got his offensive coordinator. And I don't know about you, and I know that as a Big 12 outlet, Utah's still fairly new to me. But I thought there was more speed. I thought the offense was more creative, more ingenuity than just what we're used to seeing from a traditional Utah offense under Kyle Whittingham. And it was so much fun to watch. In this team right now, if I'm doing power rankings in the Big 12, Utah's number one in my book based on what they looked like on Saturday. It was so impressive. And it was against some of the better competition anybody else in the Big 12 had seen through the first week and a half, if you want to include week zero. So Utah has all the makings of the team that a lot of us think they're capable of being coming out of what was a blowout win over UCLA. Now, elsewhere around the league, one of the other things that I think is important to note, and it's just the fact that we had a lot of new quarterbacks here in the Big 12 playing on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So let's dive into that. The new quarterbacks in the Big 12 were plentiful. I'm Pete Mundo, Heartland College Sports. Make sure you are subscribed right now. So you want to look at some of the guys who were playing quarterback on Thursday, Friday, Saturday? There were a lot of great stories. I just mentioned Devin Dampier. Can we talk about Bear Bachmeier at BYU? My gosh, this dude is a stud, man. True freshman, number 47, which still throws me off a little bit. You know, every time I'm like, oh, is there a fullback under center for beat? Nope, that's Bachmeier. I had to get used to it. I was watching the game on ESPN Plus against Portland State. And once again, it's Portland State. BYU wins 69-0. But I couldn't help but just love this kid. I couldn't help but sit there and say, I could watch this guy play football every Saturday for the next 4 years and not be bored at all. Okay. I mean, he had pretty good touch for a true freshman, 7 of 11, 100 yards, 3 touchdown passes. He wasn't asked to do a ton through the air. And then he also used his legs very effectively, especially down in the red zone. He was really good when they needed him down there in the red zone. Rushed for a couple of scores. Once again, 5 carries, 32 yards, but some big carries. And he ran the ball down in the red zone like a 2 or 3 year pro, like a veteran. He waited for his guys on the line to develop the blocks. He ran behind his guys. He put his shoulder down. He wasn't afraid. I was like, this was the right pick for BYU based on what I saw on Saturday in a small sample size. He didn't look like a true freshman out there, even against lesser competition. Some guys are just going to look like true freshmen out there. And I didn't think that Bear Bachmeier for BYU looked like a true freshman at all. And that was so impressive to watch. And that was really the main takeaway from BYU in a blowout of Portland State. Meantime, you look at some of the other new faces. Wigman at Houston in a win over Stephen F. Austin. That was a really good showing. Once again, lesser competition. But for a Houston program that really didn't have a guy last year, year one under Willie Fritz, who could get the ball down the field, who was an accurate passer. You didn't have it with Donovan Smith. You didn't have it with Chris. You just didn't have it with those guys. At least it looks like you've got a chance to have it with Wigman. And that's the big takeaway if you're a Houston fan, because you think the defense can be pretty darn good. It certainly had its moments last year, but you didn't have the offensive firepower you needed. You get in the transfer. There was a lot of talk about him all offseason. And at least for 1 week, he looked like he could be ultimately that dude for Houston as they try to make that leap and make that next jump in the Big 12, get the bowl eligibility, and then be in competition eventually for a Big 12 championship game appearance. Now, the other new faces you saw Caden Salter for Colorado. I was really impressed with the Liberty transfer. That first touchdown pass in particular, he's rolling out to his right. He's throwing into traffic in the corner of the end zone, but he's got, a quick release. He's got, a ton. He's got a lot on that ball. I mean, that ball just zips right out of his hands. For a guy that doesn't look that big, he moves well. He sees the field well. And he had some great plays on Saturday. At times, I kind of thought like I was watching Shedeur Sanders. He actually looked like somebody who at times was trying to do too much. And that's okay. That's, quarterback, new place, first game, first time in front of that home crowd. But there were times I'm like, Caden, just pocket this thing. Take the sack. Get rid of it. Throw it out of bounds. Shedeur would do that sometimes. And it would turn into like, a 20-yard loss, or it would turn into, an interception, God forbid. Don't try to do too much. Don't try to overimpress. But I was really impressed with Caden Salter and what I saw from him in that loss on Friday night to Georgia Tech. And then I also got to talk about Hoss Haney out of Oklahoma State. Oh, my goodness.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Oklahoma State beats UT Martin by 20. Haney gets injured in the game. But before he got injured, I'm watching Haney and I'm like, is this the best quarterback Mike Gundy's had since Brandon Whedon? It was unbelievable. The guy was quick as could be. I didn't realize how quality of a dual threat player he was. He's throwing, rolling out to his left across his body with incredible accuracy. And I'm watching this. And, you know, as someone who's obviously not there in camp watching Haney battle Zane Flores, I'm like, holy smokes. Mike Gundy may have just found, a great quarterback for the next couple of years that puts him back in Big 12 competition. And then he breaks his foot. And now he's out for 5 weeks. Now, Flores looked pretty good. But honestly, I was so enamored with Haney. It was difficult to watch Flores and just not put him in comparison to Haney. And that's not fair to Flores because Flores played pretty well. Now, playing pretty well against UT Martin for both guys is not the same as going to Oregon next weekend. That being said, still, it was such an emotional blow to see Haney come out the way he came out, then watch him get hurt and try to fairly evaluate Flores. It's just not fair to Flores. But it's clear that, you know, if Haney can get back healthy sooner rather than later, Mike Gundy may have the guy that he needs at that position for years to come. And then the other new face that we saw was Taven Jackson at UCF. He, of course, replaced the starter who just did not look any good. And Jackson was better. I mean, I don't think UCF's going to be any good. I have been down on UCF. I think they're going to be at the bottom of the Big 12. Not that that's a shock to anybody. I mean, even the biggest UCF homer was not going to say this team would have been competitive. But Taven Jackson should have probably gotten the start from the get-go over Cam Fancher. And you saw Jackson with some dual threat ability. But, you know, the problem that continued to come back to for UCF is like that defense. I mean, I know it's Jacksonville State and they only gave up 10 points. But when you watch the game, UCF just looked small to me out there. They didn't look like a team that was going to be ready for the big time. And they'll basically go as far as Miles Montgomery will take them. But I would stick with Taven Jackson. I would not go any further than saying, if I'm Scott Frost, Taven Jackson's my guy, and that's it. So of all these Big 12 quarterbacks, I mean, there is real potential for this league to go back to being a quarterback league after spending the last couple of seasons as more of a running back league. But the new faces, Dampier, Bachmeier, Salter, Wigman, I mean, these guys looked really good in their games throughout the last couple of days. And it was a lot of fun to watch them play out and really see them make their first starts with each of their Big 12 teams. I'm Pete Mundo on Heartland College Sports. Please make sure right now you are subscribed to the video. We appreciate you being here. We cover the Big 12 conference. And if you want Big 12 news, information, coverage, Heartland College Sports is the place to be. Now, let's get into some of these other games from the week one reaction show here that we've got rolling on Heartland College Sports. You know, I want to spend a few minutes here touching on the Kansas State debacle. And that's what it was. They beat North Dakota, but man, they looked like absolute hot garbage doing it. That was terrible for Kansas State. They get out of there with a win. You know, they get the ball back with a minute 45 left, and Avery Johnson has some nice plays, has the big 25-yard scamper down the left sideline. That sets up the touchdown pass to Joe Jackson. And from there, the Wildcats are able to go ahead, take the lead, and they win the game. Although North Dakota had a chance, and on fourth down, their wide receiver dropped the ball falling out of bounds, and that basically ended the game. But Kansas State has no identity. This does not look like a Chris Klieman team. Avery Johnson does not look like a guy who has developed. The wide receivers are still very questionable, which we were told all offseason was going to be a place of dramatic improvement for Kansas State. And the defense was so hot and cold. I mean, you know, you look at the third quarter and Kansas State forces three and outs. And then in the fourth quarter, they're giving up multiple 10 play drives for like 80 yards and two touchdowns. I just don't get it. The inconsistency for Kansas State is embarrassing right now. And there were two ways this was going to go. It's why I said in the preview show, which is why you've got to be subscribed. We do a full preview show on Wednesdays for the Big 12. I said in the preview show that I'm not betting Kansas State or Iowa State because I don't know what to expect coming back from that trip from Ireland. And what did we get? We got an Iowa State team that looked like it never was in Ireland, won 55-7 over South Dakota. And then we get a Kansas State team that looked like it left half the team in Ireland. That's what it looked like. And they nearly lose as a 25-point favorite to North Dakota. And eventually, you got to look at the coaching staff and say, what are you guys doing here? I mean, that was just pathetic on so many levels. Everything about that performance was not Kansas State football. It wasn't. And I know that Chris Klieman is probably trying to figure out why. But let's be clear. Kansas State deserved to lose that game. They had mistakes. Everything about it, they were just hot and cold. Nothing about that game with that team on Saturday night screamed Kansas State deserved to win it. They did not deserve to win that game. But they pulled it out, which is not just huge for them. It's big for the Big 12. The last thing the Big 12 needed was an FCS loss. Okay, that would have been a disaster for this team and for this conference for so many reasons right now. But it was ugly, 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 ugly. They've got to stay focused. All right. So that was a near disaster. But thankfully, the Big 12 was able to dodge a bullet on that one. Elsewhere around the league, you know, there are a lot of FCS games that we'll just touch on here briefly. Iowa State did its thing. There's not a lot to say about Iowa State outside of the fact that for those of us who thought, and I'll include myself in this, that Iowa State might take a step back this year, that they would not be in the race for the Big 12 title, we are looking wrong, and I'm including myself in that, all right? I had Iowa State finishing 6th or 7th before the season. I have no reason to believe that we will not enter November and Iowa State will play a big role in the Big 12 race. They will. They looked outstanding. They did not look like a team that had just traveled to Ireland. I know one of our writers, Derek Duke, was there. So if you saw Derek, I apologize on behalf of Heartland College Sports for anything he said or did at your tailgate or in the stadium or at the urinals or anywhere else. I'm apologizing broadly and blanketly on behalf of Heartland College Sports. Okay. So please, I'm better off not knowing what happened. I don't want to know what happened. But Iowa State looked great. Texas Tech did what you thought they were going to do against Arkansas Pine Bluff, 67-7. The big scare for Texas Tech was what happened with Baron Morton. Baron Morton took a low hit, the quarterback for the Red Raiders, and he left the game, and it looked pretty nasty. And you're thinking to yourself, my goodness, this team just spent $30 million in the offseason. Are we now going to have a quarterback who goes down for the season, have to turn to Will Hammond, our backup, who's got talent, but it's not how you mapped out the year? And thankfully, the answer is no. After the game, you heard from Joey McGuire. He said it's a lower leg injury. He said he's okay. He's going to be good. Now, what does that mean? I don't know. If he doesn't have to play in week two against Kent State, who's terrible, they went 0-12 last year, he shouldn't play against Kent State. There's no reason to play him against Kent State. But that's still something right now that Texas Tech fans are holding their breath on, because is this injury going to linger? How serious is it? Is he going to miss a couple of weeks? We don't really know right now. We just know that it's not like season ending. There's no surgery involved. It's just going to be, I would imagine, a week by week situation for Baron Morton. But that was the big scare. And then, I mean, leave it to Texas Tech with the recruiting role that they're on. There was a weather delay during the game. If you missed it in Lubbock, And there's a great time-lapse video, if you haven't seen it, on our X page at Heartland_CS. Just find us on X, on Facebook, follow us on Instagram. There's a great time-lapse video on our X page from the storm coming into Jones AT&T Stadium. It's amazing. But anyway, during the weather delay, Tech picked up a five-star offensive lineman during the weather delay for the class of 2027. It was announced during the weather delay that Cooper Hackett, five-star dude on the offensive line, had committed to the Red Raiders in the class of 2027. I mean, that's Texas Tech right now. Even when they're playing, they go into a weather delay and they come out of the weather delay with a five-star recruit. I mean, they're putting their money where their mouth is. You got to hand that to Texas Tech. It's the most Texas Tech thing ever. And I know Red Raider fans are absolutely loving it. And the size of those defensive lines was just impressive. It's one of the reasons I think they're playing for a Big 12 championship this year because of what they did on the O-line and the D-line. It's why I like them against Utah in the Big 12 championship because I think both of those programs are built right on the offensive and defensive lines to have big-time success this year. And you saw that on display for the Red Raiders on Saturday. West Virginia beating Robert Morris. Nico Markiol got the start. And you know what? He threw the ball more than I thought he would, and he was pretty sharp doing it. 17 to 20, 224 yards. Jaheim White looked like his old self at running back. And man, what I loved from that game for West Virginia was, I'm a sucker for it, the old helmets. Come on, Mountaineers fans. You loved the old helmets, didn't you? Tell me that didn't remind you of the Pat White, Steve Slayton days. How could it not? That was so much fun. To see that celebration, Rich Rod back on the sidelines. Listen, I'm high on what Rich Rod can do for the program. I don't think it's necessarily going to be this year. But if you're a Mountaineers fan, you're just riding high right now. You blew out Robert Morris 45-3. That's what you wanted to do. That's what you expected to do. And you have no reason to not feel good about where your team's at right now. But you got a sense for what the offense is going to be. And it's what you thought it was going to be under Rich Rodriguez. All right? It's pretty exciting stuff. One of the games I got wrong, my picks went 1-2 this week after going 2-1 last week. I picked Hawaii to cover 17.5 against Arizona. Bad job by me. Bad pick by me. I was wrong. But I was really impressed by what Arizona did defensively. And, you know, Fifita, we need to see him improve after last year's debacle of a season. He's got his new offensive coordinator in Seth Daigie. But to me, you don't look at it and say, wow, Arizona scored 40 points. That's amazing. I mean, it was amazing and good on them. And a lot of it came on the ground. But it was what they were able to do defensively that stood out to me for Arizona. 10 tackles for loss, 5 sacks. I mean, they were all over that backfield of Hawaii. And even though Alejandro played, the big-time quarterback for Hawaii, he didn't have a very good night. No touchdown passes, one interception. He did not look good. The running game, which is never good for Hawaii, was very limited. That is a spread-out, pass-happy team with Hawaii. But I thought they would be able to cover the spread because I just thought that Arizona's defense was going to be the unit that allowed them to put up maybe 21, 24, 27 points, and it didn't happen. And that's a testament to Arizona, the improvements they appear to have made on the defensive side of the ball, the transfers that they were able to bring in over the offseason have, at least through one game, looked really good. So, you know, it's what you expected. And it was really, really impressive through at least one game against some subpar competition for Arizona and that Wildcats program. Now, I want to go back to a couple of games from Friday here on the show. If you're just joining us, please make sure you like the video. If you love the Big 12, we are here for you at HeartlandCollegeSports.com. Glad you're joining us, and it's great to have you here. So let's talk about Colorado and the fact that a lot of people are mad at Pat Shurmur, their offensive coordinator. And on top of that, you've got, I think, some fair criticism of Deion Sanders at the end of that game. You're down a touchdown. You're trying to go down the field and tie the game. And Colorado ends the game with two timeouts in its back pocket. How does that happen? What is that all about? Everyone's mad at Pat Shurmur, and they're upset with the offense. I'm looking at it, and I'm saying to myself, okay, well, first off, what was that? Who was in charge of how that last drive developed? And then I'm also looking at it, and I'm saying, you know what? I thought that Colorado was more balanced on offense than we saw them a lot of last season with Shadur. They had a nice pass-run ratio going, and that was actually impressive to see. They ran the ball more than they passed the ball, and their running game was actually pretty good. It's something we told you about this offseason. Colorado feels good about where its offensive line is at. And this is a Georgia Tech team that a lot of people think is going to compete in the ACC. Colorado is not expected to be a team that competes atop the Big 12. Georgia Tech's expected to compete atop the ACC. And Colorado's offensive line got some pretty decent push on Friday night. So I understand maybe not loving the ingenuity and creativity of Pat Shurmur, but I'm also like, okay, what about the fact that this defense was gassed for 320 yards on the ground? What's the answer there? Because that's just as concerning to me. I know that that's what Tech is going to do, but we all knew that's what Georgia Tech was going to do. We knew that they wanted to own it on the ground. And you let them. And they did it. 47 carries, 327 yards. And that's the thing I'm looking at. And I'm saying to myself, what are we doing here? And then, you know, the other missed opportunity to me, fourth quarter, tied at 20, back-to-back penalties on Georgia Tech. Colorado gets the ball back. And that drive was just a mess of a drive. And then what happens? Georgia Tech gets it back. Haynes King runs it in. And that's basically the game right there. But that was a major missed opportunity. They had momentum on their side, home crowd. Tech had a bad drive, and they could not capitalize on that one. So that was tough to watch. But yeah, the defensive line was not good for Colorado, and that's going to have to improve if they're going to make a little bit of noise in the Big 12. If not, they are just going to get gashed. Now, speaking of teams getting gashed, hello, Baylor. What was that? Pete Mundo, Heartland College Sports with you here. Thanks for joining us. I thought that Baylor would not just cover. I thought they'd win outright. And boy, that side of the ball is a mess for the Bears. And, you know, Dave Aranda got to spend money this offseason. He leaned into it, spending money this offseason. He bragged about it to some degree, as much as Dave Aranda can brag about anything, spending money this offseason. And it was an absolute dud of a defensive performance as Auburn ran for 308 yards on 51 carries in a 38-24 win in Waco. I mean, that was just a brutal defensive performance for the Bears. The offense wasn't great. I know that, like, you look at a box score and say, oh, the offensive performance was there. No, I mean, Bryson Washington only having 54 carries on less than 4 yards a carry was not on my bingo card. Okay, I think this guy is one of the best running backs in the Big 12, and he did not look like it on Friday night. But the worst thing for that game for the Bears is Baylor cannot stop the run. You look at late in that first quarter, they go for it, by the way, on a fourth and goal, up 3-0. I thought that was kind of weird. You're home, kick the field goal. All right. You're not a 20-point underdog here. Okay. You're basically a 1-point dog. The game is basically a push. You're up 3-0 late in the first quarter. Take the field goal. Take the points. I didn't get that from Dave Aranda. Take the points. You don't get it. Auburn takes it down the field, goes up 7-3. It's little things like that that stood out to me that had major impacts on this game. And then you pull within one touchdown late in the third quarter, and then you give up a kick return to the house. Special teams, that nightmare in particular is one that Baylor's got to figure out and got to fix if they want to compete atop the Big 12 conference. That was absolutely brutal to watch unfold. And then, you know, you look at, the other thing that stood out to me here, 4th and 1, 5:38 to go at the Baylor 30-yard line. And you watch Jackson Arnold rip it up the middle. And the Baylor defenders were just way out of place. They were all over the map on that play. I watched it back on YouTube, and I'm like, this guy, I mean, it's like half the defense was in the wrong place. And Jackson Arnold in that spot, you knew all night watching the game that they were interested in getting Arnold going on the ground. And in crunch time, it seemed like Baylor was caught off guard that Arnold was going to keep it up the middle. And it was just wide open field into the end zone for the score. And right there, you're like, man, what are you doing? Unbelievable. So if this thing doesn't turn around quickly, if Baylor's not right in the thick of this Big 12 race at the end of the season, Dave Aranda may be looking for a gig elsewhere because they have a lot invested in this year in Waco. And they should have a lot invested this year in Waco. No doubt about it. Arizona State, I know that Sun Devil fans are kind of like, oh man, that wasn't great. That wasn't what we were hoping for. You beat Northern Arizona, but it's kind of ugly. It's kind of messy. And then on top of that, the ESPN Plus broadcast cuts out on you. Wow. Did you see that? I mean, if you didn't, I know there was a lot of games, good games going on regular TV. You had Utah, UCLA, you had Arizona and Hawaii on TNT. But Arizona State fans have a right to be ticked off that the game basically was unwatchable, not because of what was happening on the field, that was tough as well, but also because of the fact that the ESPN Plus feed was cutting out, which was just trash. That's because the ESPN platform is just not all that good. Not very compatible at all. And listen, I'm not overreacting, okay? I know that Arizona State fans on social media were really upset. Kenny Dillingham took all the slings and arrows. He took all the responsibility. He's like, listen, it's going to be okay. Game's on me. It's fine. And I'm not going to lose any sleep over this. Sam Levitt, for the most part, looked like the guy that you expected when the season began. And Tyson's a stud. And now they go to Mississippi State, and they got to get this win against the SEC coming up on Saturday. The Big 12 needs it, and Arizona State needs it in a big way. So it was a great week of Big 12 football. I also, you know, there's some other games I want to touch on here. Kansas rolling Wagner. There's not a lot to say, okay? You know, they didn't cover the spread. They were like 45-point favorites. They win 46-7 on Friday night. But you're watching this game, and you're saying, hey, it sets up for a great border war next weekend against Missouri. All right. Kansas's offense is the real deal. Daniels looks like his old self. You got Highshaw in that backfield, and this was FCS competition. I know, a step down from where they were last week playing Fresno State Group of Five, but you've got to feel great about this team right now if you are a fan of the Jayhawks. After last year coming up way short, way below expectations, this year could not have started any better if you tried. And you got a huge breakout game from Emmanuel Henderson, a guy who transferred into the program from Alabama. There's been a lot of hype around him, and he had a monster game. 6 catches, 130 yards, and 2 touchdowns. He was pretty quiet the week before against Fresno State, but Henderson came on, and he gave you that feel of a guy who could be a big-time wide receiver number one for the Jayhawks as they hope to compete in the Big 12 this season. That's the kind of guy that he looked like on Friday night. Now, Wagner's obviously not great competition. He's got to do that against Missouri coming up next weekend. But the pieces look like they are there. Defensively, they continue to look like a team that is just making strides on that side of the ball. And you're seeing it with a lot of new-ish faces. Guys who are coming in and moving their way up through the program. Logan Brantley led the way with, what did he have, 6-7 tackles on Friday night. And, you know, this is a guy who's been in the program. He's a sophomore, though. So he's just kind of working his way up through the program and making his presence felt. Trey Lanthan transferred in from West Virginia, looked good too, again for a second straight week. So there's a lot to like about where this Jayhawks team is trending right now. And that has been a heck of a lot of fun to watch unfold. And then the Thursday night games, we touched on some of this earlier. And if you missed it, I did an exclusive podcast only on Friday morning. I didn't do it on the YouTube channel. I put up a podcast on Apple and Spotify, search Heartland College Sports, wherever you get your podcasts. And I did a full reaction to just the Thursday night games. Nebraska beating Cincinnati, Houston beating Stephen F. Austin, Oklahoma State beating UT Martin, and UCF beating Jacksonville State. But just to put a bow on it and a bow on those games, UCF should have never started Fancher. Taven Jackson's the guy, and they will go as far as Miles Montgomery will take them. Oklahoma State, it is painful to lose Hoss Haney the way they did. And while I think that Zane Flores can be pretty good, Haney was special before he broke that foot and is out for 5 weeks. Houston, Wigman looks like a dramatic improvement at quarterback. The defense was outstanding, and Houston feels to me like a team that can make a big jump this season. And then Cincinnati, a missed opportunity against Nebraska. In a stadium at Arrowhead that was 95-5, Nebraska to Cincinnati, and that might be being generous to Cincinnati. You're in basically just outside of field goal range to try to tie the game and go to overtime, and Brendan Sorsby thinks he's Patrick Mahomes in Arrowhead Stadium and decides to launch it down the field. I don't understand that for the life of me. I just don't get it. I don't. And I'll never understand that. But you know what? That's college football for you. What a week it was. And we still have, yes, TCU taking on North Carolina coming up on Monday night. So we'll be watching that one closely as well. And we'll have it all covered right here at HeartlandCollegeSports.com. I'm Pete Mundo. Make sure that you are subscribed to the channel so you never miss an episode. All right, we are in football season. Share the show with a Big 12 buddy or two and make sure that you are subscribed right now. Please do leave us a 5-star rating and review. If you are on the podcast, send me a screenshot to Pete Mundo, M-U-N-D-O, at HeartlandCollegeSports.com. I'm Pete Mundo. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you soon. And go Big 12.
Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Lowe's knows that free makes everything better. That's why our rewards members get free standard shipping on the things they need and want, starting at Silver Key status every day. Savings for rewards members add up fast, so why wait? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help, you save. Not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/shipping terms. Subject to change.